Lovely, thank you. Now we've got two short readings this morning. The first from Ephesians chapter 6, the concluding verses from verse 21. And then we're turning through the Bible. The next book is Philippians. We're passing through Philippians to the next book, Colossians, and to chapter 4 there. And we're reading there from verses 7 to 9. So the first reading from Ephesians chapter 6, it's the final greetings of this letter. Ephesians 6 verse 21. Tychicus. Tychicus, our dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Then turning through Philippians to Colossians and to chapter 4, see if you notice any similarity. Verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. May the Lord then bless these two portions of his word as we will conclude our studies in Ephesians later in the service. Let's now bow together in prayer and continue to wait upon the Lord. The teaching in the letter to the Ephesians concludes at verse 20 of the sixth chapter. But that doesn't mean that there's nothing to learn from the concluding remarks here in these closing verses. Every word of Scripture is of profit. We will be looking, first of all, at the delivering of this letter and the individual in whose hands it is entrusted by the Apostle Paul, in taking it from Rome, where it was written, to Ephesus, where it was meant to be read. So the delivery of the letter will be the first point. Secondly, then, we will learn that there would be what we can describe as a describing of the situation, verbally relayed to them. He will tell you everything so that you may know how I am and what I am doing. So a describing of the situation will be given, but it will be verbal. Thirdly then, the third reason for the visit was not only to bring the letter, not only to tell of the circumstances, but also to develop a sense of confidence, to encourage you, that he may encourage you. And we'll be looking at that important lesson in Christian life also. And then in the last two verses, verses 23 to 24, we see Paul declaring the blessing of God upon the people. Not only upon the Ephesians, but to all, we read, to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's more than a wish, it's a declaration, an apostolic declaration of God's blessing upon his people. So those are the four main points as we draw this Ephesian epistle study to an end. Firstly then, delivering the letter, verse 21, a dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord. If you were to quiz and perhaps ask someone how many names of individuals are found in the letter to the Ephesians. You might think, well, usually Paul obviously mentions himself at the beginning, and maybe somebody alongside him, and there's usually a couple of people he might mention who've helped him or he's concerned about. So you'd probably want to guess maybe 5, 6, maybe 10 even. In the Philippians, we know Paul mentions himself. He also mentions Timothy, who's alongside him. He mentions, remember, the two ladies who seem to have had a cooling in their relationship with one another, Euodia and Syntyche. So you can think, well, probably in a letter, there'll be 4 or 5, maybe 6 references to people, certainly. The Roman, chapter 16, you look at the end the chapter there, there's a whole list of 30-odd names. But you might be surprised to find that in Ephesians, there are only 2 people mentioned. The first verse of this letter, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And we've gone through this epistle carefully. No one else has been mentioned by name. Surprising. Well, very much so, because in one sense, it's chapters 1 to 3 is so much full of doctrine and theology and teaching about the great plan of salvation and the redemption that there is in Christ and the Christian church and the Christian unity that exists. And then from chapters 4 to 6, he's into the application of this, how it applies to daily life. Oh, he's talking about wives and husbands. He's talking about servants. It's a general application, but no individuals mentioned until we come here almost to the end of the letter and we have reference to this man. 2 people. Paul introduces himself in the first verse, and no one else is mentioned until the end of the letter. Now, there's usually a disagreement as to how to pronounce his name. In Wales, Tychicus, we call him. Tychicus. But hard C, C and a H, Tychicus is the usually accepted way of pronouncing his name. Who is this only named person then who's entrusted to carry this profound letter to the believers? Well, he appears 5 times in the whole of the New Testament. 4 times in the writings of the Apostle Paul, and then once in the writings of Luke in the Acts of the Apostles. And for a moment, we're just going to turn to that first reference. Turn to Acts chapter 20 and verse 4. Paul is at the end, conclusion of his 3rd missionary journey. You know, 3 main missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. Towards the end of the 3rd missionary journey, he's been in Ephesus, he's been preaching the gospel. Demetrius the silversmith is unhappy because it's affecting his business. So many people are turning from idols and trusting in Jesus Christ. It's going to have an impact upon the selling of the trinkets and the little items that he makes as a silversmith. And a riot has occurred in Ephesus due to the preaching of the gospel. And then in the end of chapter 19, where that takes place, chapter 20 verse 1, Paul is setting out now for Macedonia. So he's moving on now into arriving in Greece, modern day Greece. And then having arrived there, he's about to think of sailing now to Syria, back to Syria. But there's a plot against him. And so Paul decides to go back through Macedonia again. And he takes a number of people with him. And this is where in Acts 20 verse 4, we read he was accompanied by a number of friends, among whom was Tychicus. And you notice there he is reported as someone who comes from the province of Asia. That's modern-day Western Turkey. Modern-day Western Turkey, that area of Turkey that so many people at the moment are making their way to and trying perhaps to cross from there into Greece as one means perhaps of getting into Europe. We are not told about how he came to Christ or who under God was responsible for preaching the gospel to him. But the 2 descriptions here in this verse tell us something about him. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord. A dear brother obviously confirms without a doubt that he was a believer. He was a Christian. This is the way in which those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and have come to faith are described in the letters of the Apostle Paul. Brothers and sisters in Christ. And so he is then a dear brother. He's a member of the Heavenly Father's family. And that is what something that we must remember as well as we make our journey in life. It may have been that you were an only child. You could say, well, I haven't got a brother, I haven't got a sister. But with regards to the fact that you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, you are now a member of God's family. And every other individual who loves the Lord Jesus Christ is your brother and is your sister. And as I keep on repeating, I don't think I can do so often more than that, is to say that you cannot know God as your Father unless you know Jesus as your Saviour. If I could just make sure that that sentence remains with you in your conversations with people as well. For there are some, yes, they don't believe in God at all. They don't believe in a deity. Yet there are others who believe that we are all the children of God. Well, the scripture is clear. You cannot know God as your Father unless you know Jesus Christ as your Saviour. But he's also described, you notice, as the faithful servant. Not in here now a servant of Paul, as perhaps a bond slave would be, that he would have bought him and would have had him to do the necessary tasks. Not a servant of Paul, but what do we read? A faithful servant in the Lord. It seems that he was not only bringing this letter to Ephesus, but from what we've read from Colossians as well, he was also going to carry the letter to Colossae. Colossians 4, verses 7 to 8, verses that we've read, is so near a repetition of verses 21 and 22 here in this chapter. Here then is a person that Paul has confidence in. He's reliable. He will get the job done. So he's not only carrying the letter to the Ephesians, he's carrying the letter to the Colossians, and commentators also think that he's also carrying a third letter. And they gather that information from the Colossian reference in chapters 4, verses 7 and 8. We read of another man called Onesimus. And Onesimus had been a slave, and he had run away from his master, a man by the name of Philemon. And Philemon lived in Colossae. And so, as well as this general letter to the churches, a church at Colossae, there was this private individual letter to a man called Philemon. And Onesimus, the runaway slave, was on the return, coming back. He'd become a Christian while he'd been in Rome, and he was now returning. And what's interesting, as we've heard, the boys and girls hear the worth and the value that each and every one of us has in Christ. It's interesting that the name Onesimus, in its original, indicates usefulness. That Onesimus was, his name meant useful. Well, at one point in his life, because he'd run away, whatever the problem was, he wasn't useful, he was useless. And yet now he'd returned, come to faith, and was returning back to Philemon, and Paul wrote this letter about accepting him now, not as a slave. He must return to his job and to the activities that he was doing before, but receive him as a brother. And so, three letters. Imagine now then the responsibility. All right, you might think, well, if you had three letters to distribute, you choose three people. I would. I choose three people. So I think, well, if something goes wrong, at least the other two might get through. But to entrust the three letters now with one individual, though we're kind of gathering this information in one sense by the side, now then, that's a big responsibility. But the Apostle Paul was happy and willing to do that. So here is a person then whom Paul has total confidence in. He's reliable. He will get the job done. He is one of the so-called small people of the New Testament. And that's why I think we Welsh people are right, because he is titchy, isn't he? Tychicus, see? He's one of the small people. You don't read much about him. There's not much information you can gather. But he's one of the small people, the background people. But in terms of significance and input and the value that Paul the Apostle placed upon him, of the value of him in Christ, well, wonderful. Well, between the first and the second imprisonments of Paul in Rome, Tychicus now is still working alongside Paul. This letter is written towards the end of that first time of imprisonment. And we also read then the other references. with regards to Tychicus. Two letters mentioned above were written during that first period of imprisonment, Colossae and Colossians and Ephesians and Philemon's letter as well. Now, there's another reference to Tychicus. It's found in 2 Timothy, chapter 4, and verse 12. Now, we know that 2 Timothy is the last letter recorded and found in the New Testament that Paul wrote. And there again, in chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, the last letter of Paul that we have in the New Testament, it seems that Paul is sending Tychicus again on an errand to Ephesus. Now, it's unnamed, and one commentator says we cannot surmise, we cannot guess what the reason was why Tychicus was being sent to Ephesus again. But remembering that he's a faithful brother, he's a sort of an envoy, he's someone who's reliable, could it well have been that this second letter, this last letter, this second letter to Timothy was the reason for him being sent to Ephesus? Because Timothy was in Ephesus. Was this letter, again, this last letter being taken? So there could be as many as 4 New Testament letters that have been delivered from the hand of the Apostle Paul under the anointing and help of the Holy Spirit, delivered to the churches or to individuals by this unknown backroom man. There is a fifth reference in Titus chapter 3 and verse 12. And that reveals that Tychicus was more than just a reliable postman, because that's the impression you can have. It certainly wouldn't have been next day delivery for him, but he would get it there. We read in Titus 3 verse 12 that Paul wants to meet Titus. Titus is on the island of Crete, and he's establishing the work of the gospel, and he's leading the church there. And Paul wants to meet Titus in a place called Nicopolis, and he wants to winter there with him and talk to him and encourage him and speak to him. But he's told Titus he has to wait until his replacement arrives. And he says, and you read of it in Titus 3 verse 12, the plan is he's mentioned either Artemas or Tychicus. I am sending one or the other. And you're to wait, Titus, until your replacement arrives on Crete, and then try and make it across and meet me in Nicopolis, and we will have a chat and we will talk together. Now, we can't say for certain that Tychicus was the one that was chosen. But we can certainly say this, that the fact that the two names are mentioned indicates to us that both were suitable for the work, suitable to lead in Crete, suitable to preach the gospel, suitable to build up the saints. So he's not only someone perhaps who delivers letters, but he's someone as well who can minister God's word. You see, it is the task of any leader to develop the spiritual as well as the natural gifts and abilities of a number of individuals who work in the enlarging of the kingdom activity. And perhaps even Paul, though he's in prison, he can see reliability. He can see a sense of God helping this man to understand the gospel and to explain the gospel and to perhaps, well, understand the implications of what it means in Christian life. And so these little opportunities are given. And this is where pastors have to be alert to this. They have to be alert to the spiritual abilities, the physical, practical abilities of people, and they have to encourage them to take part. A number of us spent the day yesterday in Bridge End, and one gentleman was talking about the fellowship that he's been in now for a number of years, and how he goes about encouraging people to take a part. He had a young lady with him who was very shy and diffident, and she said to him, I can't do anything, she said. I'm useless, I can't do anything, I'm not good at anything at all. So there was a little mission that was taking place somewhere in England. And this man was going to go, he was preaching in the main meetings. And he took a little group with him, including this young girl. And they went to quite a large town in England. And basically he had standing by the bus stop. They had large jugs of squash in the summer, little cups, and they were pouring little drinks for people and handing them as they were coming off the bus or as they were waiting for the bus. And, oh, thank you very much. And then he would say, well, what are you doing this for? And then he would say, well, have you got 10 minutes to spare? Yeah, I've just come off the bus. And then he would talk to them. And this lady, little girl, she was just pouring the drinks. And then in 3 minutes, she could give a testimony. She couldn't speak long. But she could say where she'd come from, what her family background was, and she could do the little testimony in 3 minutes. And it was long enough. He brought her back home. Wildfire. She wanted to do that now in her hometown. And that's that young girl you thought couldn't do anything, but the potential was noticed and it was encouraged. And we see it here in this man with regards to Paul and Tychicus. Paul highly valued this man. He sent the letter with him and he knew he would deliver it. It's a very practical lesson learnt here. Whatever we have to do, let us do it with joy. Let us do it with gladness, counting it a privilege to be part of the gospel's proclamation. Secondly, now let's look at, again, verse 21 to see that Tychicus is not only taking the letter, but he's describing the situation in detail to the Ephesians. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. That little word there, that you also may know. We know that perhaps the Colossian letter had been written first. And then the Ephesian letter is written second. And so this also, you as well as the Colossians may know then. So that's how we understand that little word also. But he's coming then to give them the inside information, the background. In chapter 1 and verse 15, if you turn back there to the opening chapter, chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul writes that he had received information about what was happening at Ephesus. Whether it was, again, by letter, or whether it was, again, someone coming and giving report. But he says there in chapter 1 and verse 15, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints. He'd heard about it. He'd had information coming to him. He preached the gospel among these people. And he'd seen the Spirit of God convert so many. And since then, he'd been updated about their growing faith and their love for one another. About your faith and your love for the saints. And it was a cause of deep thankfulness to God. As Paul was imprisoned in Rome, he could think, well, all right, I'm here, but the gospel is going on. The Lord's people are growing in grace. And the second reason for sending Tychicus is not only to bring the letter, but to describe in some details what we call the nitty-gritty of Paul's present circumstances. Now, it's William Henriksen, the commentator, who remarks that paper or scrolls were not in easy and abundant supply. You couldn't just slip into W.H. Smith and have three big things of paper and writing. It didn't matter what you wasted. You had to be careful. And so perhaps the letter contains the essential doctrines. But we know Paul never wanted to draw too much attention to himself. But then on the other hand, he didn't want them to be unaware of what was happening. Because the reality is, for all of us, isn't it? It's what we imagine causes us concern. If we could know the facts, if we could know the details, it would help us to be able to pray, but it would also alleviate many of the things. Well, when we hear, perhaps we have a loved one who's living away, and we what's it like? And we imagine the house, what's it like? Water dripping in, or wind through the window, are they warm enough? Yet, if you can see it, if you can have a report about it, someone can describe it to you, it just alleviates the anxiety. But also, and helps us then to pray. Well, this is the sort of thing. But Paul didn't want it written down so that everyone would be reading about it. But he wanted them to be aware of it. And so, the nitty-gritty, as we call it. He had so much to write about in terms of the teaching and the application of it that he considered it a better way to let Tychicus then give a full verbal account of the day-by-day conditions of life in Rome for the apostle and his friends. The incidental facts, which we often read about at the end of Paul's letters, are absent. You read the Colossians, bring my cloak, and bring the parchments, and bring this. Well, you don't get any of that in Ephesians. As we've noticed, no other names other than Tychicus is found in the letter. Oh, there had been visitors, there had been friends and companions. Antiochus was there. He knew all about it. We've often said that a letter tells us much, but a phone call or a verbal visit can expand on a sentence in a way that alleviates fears and concerns that we may have. We can only think then that the phrase "tell you everything" here must include so many individual pieces of information that it's like a pieces of cloth and material that make up a full collage then, or a backdrop to the full picture of what was happening in Rome. And there seems to be two very clear purposes here in these verses, verse 21, in the telling of everything. The first is to do with Paul's personal situation. He says clearly there how I am, that you may know how I am. How's Paul looking? He's been there now. I mean, perhaps he hasn't getting much vitamin D. How's he looking? What's the state of his health? What's the state of his mind? Is his confidence in God still the same? Does he still have that energy? Has he still got the sense of God's purpose in his life? We want to know. Or is it, you know, what do we need to pray for him? Is it wearing him down? So how I am, he said. Well, he'll give you a full report on that. And also what I'm doing. Well, Paul, you can't be doing much. You're in prison. Don't you believe it? What I am doing. Writing letters. Planning, if he does get released, this is the first imprisonment, and there was a time of release in between the first imprisonment and the second imprisonment. Well, what he would do, if the Lord would spare him to enable him to continue, where else would he go? He had plans for Spain. Don't think he got there, but he had plans for Spain. You mention it in the Bible. Rome, certainly, well, he was there already. But Spain was on his mind. Making plans for the future. How he was and what he was going to do then, and what was going on, would be fully described to the believers here. Now, we perhaps often in conversation with one another speak in general terms. There's a lack of specifics. And all this information was not meant then so much for gossip, but for thoughtful, particular prayer as they prayed for this man who's termed the ambassador in bonds, as we considered verse 20 previously. Even if the everything included harsh conditions or ailing health, it was better to know the reality of it than left wondering or imagining what Paul was going through. Let's have the facts. I don't know what you think. There's been a change, we know, in terms of medical practice in recent years. Look, let's try and sit you down and explain to you exactly what is happening. Let's not fudge around. Let's not use sort of phrases that you can't really understand. We'd rather know what we're facing rather than it be left to the imagination, and imagination can run riot. But it was not only about Paul. You also read there in verse 22, I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are. So again, you see, there's this larger context as well. There are those who are there supporting Paul. Well, what's happening with them? There were others already with Paul who had stayed at his side. And they had their stories. And so a fuller picture was being fleshed out for the Ephesians about them as well. And this could only prove helpful if Tychicus, really, while he'd been there, had been observant. And that he'd listened. And he'd attended carefully to what was said and who came and what had been done. Now, whether he actually made a list himself, a little diary of what was happening so that he could report back, whether he knew that if Paul was sending him, they'd want an account as well, or whether he had that wonderful ability, which some have, can't they? They can tell you the order exactly of who's been, what they said, what was done, how they looked. They can pick up the vibes. They can tell you a story, and you almost feel like you're there in the room with people. What an ability. Now, perhaps, how much effort will we give to listening? I sometimes have this, and I've gone perhaps to visit someone that our family might know, and I've had a good conversation with them, and then I'm meeting my family, and they're asking, well, how were they? And, I give them three or four sentences, and they say, but you were an hour with them. What did you talk about? How are they? And Well, I'm sort of thinking, well, I've summarised. Isn't that? No, well, they want to know, you see, they want to know. And to be honest, I have been listening, but I haven't been logging it. Now, spiritually, and in terms of the context, when we're in conversation with one another, don't go asking people, how are you, and then knock off, and just click off and then think about the shopping list. Engage yourself, so that then if needs be, an account needs to be given, or if prayer needs to be offered, you can give the detail. Taking an interest. And I think Tychicus, although we see Paul perhaps taking an interest in Tychicus and bringing him on, Tychicus was listening to every word, watching everything in relation to what was happening in the life of Paul. Tychicus was an individual who had fellow feeling for the apostle, and he could relay the information accurately. Thirdly, very briefly, he develops also, thirdly, the confidence of these people, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. That he may encourage you. The Authorized Version translates this as that he may comfort your hearts. The Amplified Version goes on and uses a number of words speaking of consoling and cheering and encouraging and strengthening. Now, what an important practical lesson these few words reveal here. The teaching is over, but just this little remark about this man, that he may encourage you. This is a direct strength that we know. A direct strength can come to an individual by the witness of the Holy Spirit. We can be strengthened in the inner man by the Spirit. We've read that in Ephesians chapter 3. But here now is this reference to the fact that Paul is writing about another way in which God encourages his people. How is it? Well, you see, Paul did not always have it easy. Didn't have easy times in the places he visited. Corinth, although there's two letters written to Corinth. Corinth was a city in modern-day Greece, but wasn't it an easy place? We read those verses, 2 Corinthians. There are verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. This body of ours had no rest, he says. But we were harassed on at every turn. And does this often, it describes people's lives. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. That's how it is sometimes. Outside, it's conflict, and you're trying to carefully walk through the tulips, aren't you, without treading on anybody. And then the fears and the anxieties and the worries inside. Well, Paul is saying, I knew that at Corinth. In Macedonia, and then he gives this testimony as to how God comforted him. Well, the Apostle Paul, probably a direct revelation of the Spirit of God into his heart and assuring that he was God's child, as has happened in Corinth. The angel came and said, Paul, you carry on preaching here. There are yet many people in the city. Yeah, that's Acts 18, that's happened. But what does he say here? No, here's another thing. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Another one of the individuals, Titus. And Tychicus the same here. Something so ordinary, a visit, yet nothing more important. To meet another believer who can give testimony to God's faithfulness, who are themselves those perhaps who've been helped and strengthened through the difficulties and the problems that they've gone, can help those who are going through despair and feeling downcast at the moment to bring them through from that place of despair to the beginning of the dawning of joy again in their hearts. Now, it is a considerable distance between Rome and Ephesus, yet Tychicus undertook this hazardous journey. Practically, it's no distance today. Rome to Ephesus, I had a look at a couple of hours, I think less than an hour and a half if you're going by plane or something like that. To write a letter, then, was a means of encouragement, to give the background, but also as well to speak about and to encourage them in their faith. Now, perhaps many of us have given up letter writing. Even posting a card, you see, means you can buy the card, but you've got to have a stamp either in your purse or your wallet, and so, it's gone now, never mind. But, you know, there's nothing easier or quicker. And again, one of the seminars that was available for us yesterday was all about communication in the context of the church. Also in the context of evangelism. Now, it's true, for me, a tweet is still what a sound a bird makes. That's what a tweet is. But for a new generation, Well, it's the posting made on social media. This little message that you can get on your mobile phone. People you can send a message in seconds, and it can be with them in seconds. Edwin and I made a trip not so long back down to Pembrokeshire. We had to make our way down there. We were having a day out on a jolly. And we went to visit a family grave. And we placed some flowers there. And with all my inability, even I could do this. I had my little mobile phone out. I took a photo of it. Had a mobile phone number to send it to. Pressed the button. The picture was gone within seconds. Down in rural Pembrokeshire, we had a reply. Wonderful, wonderful picture. And we even sent a picture of the dinner we had as well. Communication. It's wonderful. Now, in one sense, in terms of encouragement, I attended, it was a very, very solemn, I attended with Dr. Errol Davis a seminar on domestic abuse. Domestic abuse in the context of the Christian church, evangelical churches, where perhaps men are not the husbands they should be, not the fathers they should be. And in that context again, one of the encouragements that was mentioned was the simple phone call, the simple message on the mobile phone, just to encourage a person through a difficult day. Just to think that although whatever was happening perhaps in the context of family life, someone out there was thinking about them. What can I pray for you today? What about meeting up for a coffee? And he said, what a ministry, this ministry of encouragement. Titus, you see, was a man of encouragement. He encouraged others, so Tychicus did the same. He's a minor character in the New Testament, and this is why I'm pausing, because I probably will not preach on him again. You know, he's a minor, he's just a name, two words, three words about him. He's a minor character in the New Testament, yet he was chosen here as the means of cheering and consoling and encouraging the believers in Ephesus to keep on pressing on. What a necessary ministry today. So many people are so busy. So many people are weary. So many people are in discouragement and despair. And sometimes they can't talk about it. They haven't shared the burden, you see. Well, in one sense, this is where we were talking about. You can't share it. There's a sense where you don't want people to know what you're going through. And yet in another sense, you do, because you're struggling on your own. Well, then, just to feel and to know that even if nobody knows the circumstances, they've just sent you a little contact, or they're meeting you and they're going to talk to you and read the scriptures and have a prayer with you. What a help it is. May Tychicus be a constant reminder to us of the value of such a ministry. And I just want to pay tribute now that the funeral is over to individuals who attended, particularly in the last 12 months, at Emlyn's home and were the means of helping him. Often we'd have a little chat, you see, about word for today. He'd read that little verse and he'd read the little commentary there. And I also follow that as well on a daily basis. And so we'd have a little bit of a chat about something, or we'd have a prayer together, or we would talk about the family. What a help it was. And all the boys were saying, without that sort of help, he couldn't have continued. We haven't time. I must come back perhaps on another occasion to speak about declaring the blessing, but it's simply around these wonderful words of peace and love and faith and grace. I'll just simply share this, that this epistle begins with grace. It begins with a great plan of salvation. Chapter 1, verses 3 to 12, it gives you the whole picture there, the whole gamut of God's great plan of salvation. It begins in eternity. And also then it's ending in eternity. Grace to those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. We are loved with an everlasting love, led by grace, that love to know. And this is how John Kent as well, in this closing hymn that we're going to sing, concludes as well. Sovereign grace, o'er sin abounding, ransom souls the tidings swell. 'Tis a deep that knows no sounding, who its breadth and length can tell. And that last verse there. Why, O Lord, such love to me. Hymn 501, we're going to sing it together. Why, O Lord, such love to me. Hallelujah, grace shall reign eternally. 501 as we conclude the service.